Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this day that you've given us, your Sabbath day where we can come together and we can worship you. Lord, as we read from your word today, help these not be my words. Help me to be humbled. Hide me behind your cross, Father. May we read, may we learn, and may we change according to your word. In your precious name, Lord, amen. If you would, turn with me to the scripture verse that we were reading today, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to reread this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look here at verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 2, and we're going to look at verse 3 and 4. And this is what it says. I'll be reading from the King James this morning. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good" what? "As a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It says, "No man." How many men? "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier." Brothers and sisters, who has called you to be a soldier this morning? Who is the one that we are called to please? Jesus Christ. Amen? Did you know that with how you live your life, you can pleasure Jesus? How many of you want to pleasure Jesus this morning? I know that I want to pleasure my Savior. It talks to us this morning about being a soldier. Now, when you're a soldier, I've never been in the military, but there's some here that have been. When you're a soldier, do you do a little bit of training? You go through a lot of training, don't you? You go through until you know exactly what you're going to be doing. You can take apart your rifle in the dark and you can clean it in just a few seconds. You know what you're doing. You follow your commander. Brothers and sisters, how many of us are training today? What are we training for? Are we training for that journey that we're going to? Are we on a journey right now? Where are we on a journey to? We're on a journey to heaven, amen? And this is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Turn back just a couple books to the left. We're going to go to Titus. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to start here in verse 11. Titus chapter 2, we're going to start here in verse 11. And this is what it says. "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying" what? "Ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly." Notice that word, soberly, "righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." What does it mean to be sober? The opposite of what? The opposite of drunk, right? Intoxicated. Now, when I'm intoxicated and I'm drunk, what is the part of my body that doesn't work very well? My mind, right? My brain. When I'm intoxicated, which I never have been, praise the Lord, and I don't plan on being that way, praise the Lord. But when you're intoxicated, you don't make the right decisions, do you? You don't necessarily think that well. You kind of are just surviving and you're topsy and you're turvy and doing all these things. But brothers and sisters, can the Christian today afford to be intoxicated? The Christian today is called to be sober. And why? Because the devil is there and he is waiting to tempt you and to get you to fall in any way that you can. We're not just talking about being sober here physically, but we're talking about being sober here spiritually. When we eat and drink, what is the thing that we should spiritually be eating and drinking only from? The Word of God, amen? Is the Word of God going to continue to make us sober? Absolutely. The Word of God is our key to heaven. You know, I love this country. But when we talk about Hebrews 11, we talk about people that were full of faith, do we not? Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And there's big names in that chapter like Abraham. We think of Isaac. We think of Jacob. All of these names are mentioned in Hebrews 11, and they had great faith, did they not? They were giants to Israel. Turn with there, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look here at verse 14. Hebrews 11, 14. Hebrews 11 and verse 14, and this is what it says. "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek" a what? that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a what? He hath prepared for them a city. Brothers and sisters, are we living today like we live in the world and we're ready to put down our roots here? Are we living today as a pilgrim that's just passing through? Should we have all of our loves and our lusts and all of the things we cherish here on this world? Or who should we be cherishing? We should be laying up for ourselves treasures where? In heaven. Amen? Because all the things on this earth are going to pass away, are they not? You know, looking at the news a little bit this week, there's been some terrible things that are happening. How many of you have been following the hurricane that's going on? Last time I looked, which was Friday, I looked and 50-plus people had died just in Haiti. All right? Is this world falling apart? Does it seem like this world is just hanging there on a thread, waiting to snap at any moment? It sure does. But to the Christian, when we look at those things and we turn on the news and see that, what do we see? We see that Jesus coming is all the closer. So today we're going to be talking about how we as Christians should be fighting this good fight, preparing to make ourselves ready for heaven. But before we start, I want to make sure that we get this point. Can you get yourself ready to heaven? No. Who must we rely on at all times? Is Jesus Christ. When we're talking today about how we can prepare to live soberly, how we can live righteously, how we can be that peculiar person, we must remember that we must constantly be relying upon who? Upon Jesus Christ. That means that we still can prepare though, right? Absolutely. Paul in 2 Timothy 4 says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How many of you want to keep that faith this morning? You know, it's very easy to say when we're sitting there in a comfortable church pew. It's very easy to say when you have a 6-month emergency fund there and sitting in the bank account. It's very easy to say when there's a paycheck that's there every week, every month, whenever it's supposed to be there. But when our faith is tested, when that paycheck doesn't come, when that car breaks down, when people are persecuting you for Christ's sake, is your faith going to hold fast? We must be reliant upon Jesus Christ. So when we're going through all of these things, one thing that we are going to be needing is strength. Amen? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, the book right after Psalms. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to take a look here at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll be looking here at verse 7. Notice what this says. I love these two verses, 7 and 8. It says this, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be what? It shall be health to your navel and marrow or strength to your bones. When we turn away from sin and we rely on Jesus Christ, what do we gain? We gain strength, amen? And it's not the strength that I have as a human. It's not the strength that gets me to lift 50 pounds on a curl. That's not the kind of strength we're talking about. This is the strength that we all need every day, amen? This is the strength that we need to overcome temptation and to actually resist that devil. So how do we become sober? Step number one, we must rely upon Jesus Christ, amen? We must turn away from the devil and flee from him in that order. Don't resist the devil first. We must submit ourselves to Christ first, amen? This is what James chapter 4 tells us. But the Lord in all of his mercy doesn't just talk about mental and physical health here. He also talks about a mental and spiritual health. The title this morning is The Three Temples or The Three Sanctuaries. When we teach our kids to come into the sanctuary of God, how do we teach them to come and approach the sanctuary here that we're in right now? We teach them to come into the sanctuary with respect. Amen? When we come into the sanctuary, we're not just talking with each other, but we are worshiping who? We're worshiping the Creator. Amen? Who else is in this place today? The Holy Spirit, I hope. Amen. Is the Holy Spirit here today? Do you believe that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take a look here at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1 is where we're going to be starting. Hebrews 8, starting in verse 1. And notice what it says here. This past few weeks through Prophecies Unsealed, man, I always want to say Unlock Revelation. But Prophecies Unsealed, we've been studying about the sanctuary. And I've been reading a book, and I've read the book once. I'm going to reread it again. Dakota's getting tired of it because I sound like a broken record. But the sanctuary. How many of you have studied the sanctuary before? I've studied the sanctuary before, but I was studying it in depth these past few months. And brothers and sisters, in that sanctuary, it's such precious truth. If you haven't studied or read about the sanctuary, please, I'm begging of you, do it. You will not regret it. I just finished reading a book, and you've probably heard me say this 100 times. I'm going to say it again. How many of you have read the book, The Cross and Its Shadow by S.N. Haskell? If you haven't read that book, you need to read it, and you need to read it again. Because that book breaks down the sanctuary like I have never seen it before, and it's straight from the Word of God. But we're there in Hebrews today, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, and notice what it says. It says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the what? The true, original tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not what? The Lord pitched and not man. There are two sanctuaries that we're aware of in the Bible. We're aware of the sanctuary in heaven. And God is a God of order, is he not? You know, when I was growing up, and still to this day, I was not always known as keeping my room the cleanest. All right? I was not always known as keeping my bathroom the cleanest. All right? As a bachelor, that's how things are. And when I got married, praise the Lord, I'm starting to learn these things. But my mom always told me this one thing, which I'm sure you've heard before. Cleanliness is next to what? Cleanliness is next to godliness. We hear it time and time again. But do you think that God keeps his sanctuary in heaven clean? You better believe he does, doesn't he? Here on earth, in the sanctuary that was with the Israelites, were the Israelites supposed to keep that sanctuary clean? Do you think they were? Absolutely, right? Let's take a look at this third sanctuary that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would like to turn there. 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to look here at verse 19. 6, 19 and 20. This is Paul talking here. And notice what Paul says. What? Know you not that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What is the body? The body is a what? The body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Do you belong to yourself? Who owns you? Whether you know it or not, whether you submit himself to you or not, who owns you? Amen. Verse 20, this part brings it home. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your God in your what? In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Brothers and sisters, this body that we have here on earth is not just your own. Who bought it? Jesus Christ. Amen. We are just borrowing it for a time. And then when Christ comes again, is he going to give you a new body? A perfect body. Amen. If someone loans something to me, I read a lot and people loan me books now and then. When someone loans me a book and I bring it back to them and it's got all this stuff all over it and it's bent and it's dog-eared and all these things, are they going to be very appreciative of that? No. When you borrow something from somebody, what you're supposed to do is take good care of it so when you return it, they like you. For lack of a better term, okay? When Christ let us borrow this body, how are you going to return it? You know, something like clockwork that happens in this church every Thursday or Friday, mostly on Fridays, and it goes unseen, is a lady comes on Friday, and she comes throughout this sanctuary and makes sure that everything is in its place. Did you know that? She comes along in the foyer. She comes in the sanctuary. And if there's some dust, she makes sure that dust is gone. She makes sure that everything isn't crooked. Everything's even. She makes sure that on Sabbath morning that this sanctuary is clean and a place where the Savior and the Holy Spirit can dwell. Isn't that powerful? Brothers and sisters, when the Sabbath is approaching for you, are you making sure that your temple is clean? And not just the Sabbath. But are you prepared all the time for Jesus' second coming? Is your temple clean all the time? One thing that the Bible is very clear about that we are not supposed to do is we are not supposed to consume alcohol. How many of you have read this before? All right. The Bible is very clear that we are not supposed to ingest in us this intoxicating drink because God calls us to be sober. And if we're drinking all the time, then are we going to be sober? No, we're going to be ready for the devil's attack. And take a look here. This is powerful. Go to the book of Proverbs. This is in Proverbs chapter 31, the book right after Psalms again. Proverbs chapter 31, and notice what it says here. We're not going to be going to the verse today that talks about wine being a mocker, although that is a good one. But I believe this one is even more powerful. Proverbs 31, starting here in verse 4, and notice what the text says. It is not for who? It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for who? Kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Verse 5, lest they drink and forget the what? Forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Verse 6, give strong drink to them that is ready to what? That is ready to perish, and wine unto those that are heavy-hearted. This verse says very specifically that alcohol is not for kings or princes. Does that make sense? And if the kings and princes do drink that wine, what are they going to forget? They're going to forget the law. And why are they going to forget? Because their mind is clouded over with this intoxication. Make sense? Okay. Now notice here, turn to Revelation chapter 1 with me, if you will. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to start here in verse 5 and 6. Revelation 1, 5 and 6, and it says this. You ready? You excited? I know I am. Verse 5, and this is what it says. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6 is what we're looking for. And hath made us what? He has made us kings and priests or princes unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Are you a king and a prince? Is that what the Lord wants for your life? You might not be a king or a prince in worldly standards, but has God wanted to make you a king and a queen? Amen. He has. So because we are kings and queens and princesses of God, what are we not supposed to be doing? Drinking alcoholic beverages. Lest we forget the law of God. But you know, it's not just physical alcohol that is talking about here. In Revelation, we find another woman, and she is drinking wine as well. How many of you have read this before? We're not going to go there today, but it says the woman was there, and her name was Babylon, and she drank the wine of her, remember? Drank the wine of all of her fornications. When we're here on Sabbath morning, and we're partaking of communion, and we're drinking that wine or that grape juice, what does it represent? It represents Christ's blood, amen? It represents his blood that he poured out so that we could be living forever in heaven. Amen? But when the devil has wine, the devil always has a counterfeit for something. What does that represent? Brethren, that represents none other than false doctrine. When you are reading the Word of God, we must always be dwelling upon the pure truths of it. Amen? But if we look to other places for interpretation of the Word of God, you are in danger of receiving false doctrine. We need to make sure that when we're doing our morning devotions, When we are spending time with God, that we are spending time with him solely in his word. Amen? That we are not looking to man, that we are not looking to an author of another book for our spiritual meat, for our spiritual wine, our spiritual blessings, but that we are looking to none other but God, who provides for us the pure wine of the word of God. Amen? Is that the kind of wine that our body should be drinking, our spiritual mind should be drinking? Absolutely. It will strengthen us like nothing has before. Now, the Bible, remember this, the Bible called us peculiar people. Do you remember that? We just read it. We were called to be sober-minded, and we were also called to be peculiar. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 14. We're going to start here in verse 2. Deuteronomy 14, and we're starting here in verse 2. And notice what God says. God is talking here, and in verse 2, this is what he says. For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. And the Lord hath chosen you to be a what? To be a peculiar people. I'm going to stop right there. Does God change? Was God the same in the Old Testament as he was in the New Testament? Has God always had the same plan for his people? Back in the Old Testament, God wanted his people to be peculiar, to be unique, to be special. Amen? In the New Testament, did God's plan change? No, it did not. So when God is speaking to the people in the Old Testament, who is he talking to? He's talking to you as well. Amen? A peculiar people unto himself, continuing on, above all the nations that are upon the earth. Then in verse 3, notice what he says. You shall not eat any abominable or unclean thing. And if you continue on there in Deuteronomy chapter 14, and you also go to Leviticus chapter 11, you will find that there is a list of clean and unclean things. How many of you have read this before? And in these chapters, it specifically spells out the things that we should be eating and the things that we should not be eating. But let me ask you, why does God care about what you eat? Why does God care about what you drink? We find that answer in 1 John chapter 4, where it says that God is, remember, God is love, is he not? Does God want you to be happy? You better believe God wants you to be happy. Does God want you to have pleasure? Yes, of course God wants you to have pleasure, but holy pleasure. Does God care about your health? You better believe he cares about your health. When God restricts us, it may seem restrictive, but when God tells us and tells us what things we should eat and shouldn't eat, when God tells us laws for our health, it isn't because he is a God that wants to limit us with all these things and rob us of pleasure, because that's what he's all about. He's all about making us happy, but when God tells us not to do something, it's to make us more healthy and wise. Amen? So when God gives us these special rules for health in the Old and the New Testament, we see it is because he wants to make this temple clean. God doesn't just want our minds to be clean. God wants our entire bodies to be clean. If I'm home and I'm on the couch and I'm sick and my mind is foggy and I'm sore and I can't move, what's the last thing that I want to do? Read, right? The last thing that I want to do when I'm feeling sick and when I'm hurting and when my mind is foggy, I don't want to think. You just want to lay there and get over it. Isn't that exactly where the devil wants you? The devil wants you in a position, spiritually and physically, where you are so sick and you are so hurting and you are so sore and so clouded that you don't want to think. Because when we start thinking, when we start reading the Word of God, when we start praying, the Lord is going to make us think. Amen? The Bible is all about thinking. The Bible is all about loving the Lord our God. And he wants us to have a mind that can dwell on good things. So let me ask you today, how many of you want your mind to be opened to pure things? How many of you want to make sure that your bodily sanctuary is clean and ready for Jesus' second coming. I know that I do. But notice here something else that happens. We're going to be taking a look at the sanctuary a little bit this morning. And if you look at your screen, we're okay now, Donald. If you look at the screen, we see here the sanctuary, and we studied it a little bit this week. And you'll notice that in the first compartment of that sanctuary, in the courtyard, the outer court, we find that big red box is the altar, all right? And I found it interesting as I was studying this week that when, I'm going to make sure I pronounce this right, when Antiochus IV captured Jerusalem, he was a Syrian king, and this man did not believe in the Lord God at all. And so he came in, he was a pagan, and he conquered Jerusalem. And you know one of the first things that he did? He went to the sanctuary, he went to that altar of God, and what was normally sacrificed upon that altar? A sheep, right? Something that symbolized who? Jesus Christ, amen? So he took that altar, and he took an animal, and he slayed it like he was supposed to do, and he put it upon that precious and holy altar of God, but guess what that animal was? He wanted to desecrate the house of God. Brothers and sisters, does the devil want to desecrate your house of God? Does the devil want you to sacrifice, if you will, a pig in your life? And that's also talking literally. The Bible is very specific that as Christians, as people that are trying to be healthy spiritually and physically, that we are not supposed to be eating those things, but also spiritually we should be focusing not on the unclean, but on the what? On the clean. So we're here in the sanctuary, and we look at all of this. Let me ask you, Bible students, in which part of the sanctuary is the law of God? Where is it? Where's the Ten Commandments? It's in the Ark of the Covenant, which is in the most holy place, or the Holy Holies, in the sanctuary. Now, I want to read something here. We're going to take a look at a story very briefly in 2 Chronicles. Go to the Old Testament there. We're going to take a look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29, we're going to start here in verse 1. And in this story, I want you to pay special attention to the state of the sanctuary, which we just looked at on the screen. 2 Chronicles 29, starting here in verse 1, this is what it says. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abihah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was what? That which was right in the sight of the Lord. He was a righteous king according to all that David, his father, had done. Now skip down to verse 4. And he brought in the priests and Levites and gathered them together in the east street and said to them, "Hear me, you Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place." In order to carry filthiness and garbage out of something, it must have already been there. Okay, so the Levites, the priests here, had been snoozing on the job or something, and they had allowed the sanctuary of God to become what? Contaminated, filthy, unclean. And when Hezekiah came into that kingship, because he was so close to God, what was one of the first things that he asked the Levites to do? Clean the sanctuary. Clean it up. So then you notice here, later in the story, go with me to verse 15, talking about the priests, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified them, made holy, pure, and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to go and do what? To cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took to carry it abroad into the brook of Kidron. Then it talks about here when they did that. But notice here in verse 19, "Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his sin have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of God." God dwell in a sanctuary that was full of sin? No. He couldn't. Could God dwell in a sanctuary that was filthy and unclean? No, he couldn't. Brothers and sisters, does God want to dwell in you? Does God want to dwell in you? Amen. God longs to dwell in you. He doesn't just want to, but he desires it. It's the thing that he wants to do most of all. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 13. Look what the Lord wants to do. Hebrews chapter 10. And this is what we read in verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. In our time, saith the Lord, I will put my what? I will put my laws into their hearts and in their what? And in their minds, I will write them. Does God want to write his law into your mind? You better believe he does. We go back to the picture of the sanctuary there, Donald. Where, I'm going to ask again, where was the law in the sanctuary? In the most holy place, in the Holy of Holies. Where does God want to dwell in your life? He wants to dwell in your Holy of Holies. Amen? He wants to dwell in your mind and in your heart. Now, today we've covered a lot of information. We talked about how we can be clean spiritually, but also how we can be clean what? Physically. Are these laws of health that God has given us important? Absolutely. God wants us to be fit. God wants us to be able to focus, not on all of our sickness of the body, but he wants to focus on our spiritual aspect. And we cannot be there unless we are healthy physically. God wants us to be healthy. Let's turn to our last verse today, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. We're just passing through, amen? But be you transformed by the renewing of your what? By the renewing of your mind. Clean it up, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want the Lord to live in your life? Do you want to do the Lord's will? Then fall upon him. Be broken. Be cleansed. And he will fill you up. He will make you whole. We must always remember the times that we are living in. We're living in the day of judgment, aren't we? We are living in an antitypical day of atonement. And what happens after judgment? The second coming of Christ. We as Christians don't have any time to be drunk. We do not have time to be drunk physically or spiritually. We must always be ready for the devil's attack. We must live soberly and righteously in this present world. We must focus on the Word of God and let the author of the Word of God change our lives. Do you want to do that with me today? Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that there is one who is pure, and that is you. Father, thank you that you want to share these things with us, Lord, and help us to be able to cast away all of these things that may make our mind cloudy, that may make us sick spiritually and physically, that you will be able to come in and fill us with your Spirit. This is what we long for, Father. We thank you for your Son who came and died for our sins. In your precious name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.